Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It's so good to see all of you here. I want to highlight the youth soup and sandwich luncheon that will be following worship this morning. Are there any other announcements you would like to highlight? Pam. Thank you. Anything else to share? Any other announcements? Okay. If you would please turn in your hymnal to number 853, it's in the back. We will be reading 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 together. We'll have everyone read the italicized print, and I will read the plain print. 853. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thank you.
Are there any joys or concerns to share this morning? There'll be a microphone available for you to speak. We got word that Lois Keeney, we asked for prayers for Lois Keeney. She's experiencing back pain, so we want to lift her in prayer. Are there any others?
Hello? Okay. I would like prayer for James Mills. May the good Lord wrap him in his arms. He's home from the hospital and hospice. And just thank everyone for their prayers and keep praying for him. He needs peace.
Tammy's trot, she's having surgery on the 12th this month on her tendon on her arm. And I'd like to thank everybody for the help that I got while I had a broken foot and neck. Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Let's enter into a time of prayer. Lord, we come to you as broken people. We are broken by illness. We lift to you those in our church family and our extended family who are sick or injured. May they sense your presence and your healing touch. Be with the doctors and other caregivers who have been charged with their care. Help their families as they tend to their loved ones. May we minister to our brothers and sisters as you call us to step in and step up. We live in a broken world. We don't completely understand the situations like those in India, Brussels, Nigeria, and Virginia. But we ask for your hand in the recovery from those crises. We pray for our brothers and sisters caught up in the chaos and destruction. We are broken by our sin. We come to you as people who are faced with temptation each day. Consciously or unconsciously, we seek power and control at the expense of our brothers and sisters. Too often, we look out only for ourselves. We put our trust in people and things that will let us down. We try to figure things out on our own without putting our trust in you. We want for ourselves without always thinking through the consequences. Lord, you call us to a higher standard, and we can only get there with your help. We are called to love. Give us strength to stand firm on you, the solid rock in our lives. With Jesus as our example, we can withstand the blows that are aimed at us on a daily basis. Help us to be mindful of those times when we are seeking to fulfill our own selfish desires. May we turn our focus to you and others. Help us to see beyond ourselves to the need of others. When the devil tries to trip us up, help us to watch our path. Lord, we may be broken, but your brokenness has made us whole, and your love is poured out over us. It is with all praise, honor, and glory to you that we pray. Amen.
There's a feeling.
But me, who am I and who are these my people that we should presume to be giving something to you? Everything comes from you. All we're doing is giving back what we've been given from your generous hand. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, from whom comes all that is good, we praise you for your mercies, for your goodness that has created us, your grace that has sustained us, your discipline that has corrected us, your patience that has borne with us, and your love that has redeemed us. Help us to love you and to be thankful for all your gifts by serving you and delighting to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Have a seat. Hey, Ava, how are you? Hi, what? Is this all the kids? How comes there was 50 kids here last week? Well, anyway, I'm glad for you. You know what I have here? What is it? A mirror, sure. Take a look. Yeah, look at that. Don't you look great? What do you think?
I can see all the people.
I know. Yeah, look at that. You can see all the people. How about LJ? Do you see yourself? Ava? Looking pretty good, huh? You know what? It's because you're so cute and young. You like the mirror, don't you? Sometimes when you get my age, oh, I don't know, not so much. Yeah. Now take a good look. You see yourself? Now take a look out in that audience. Do you see anybody out there that looks like you?
No.
You're not even looking? Oh, you're looking in the, oh, okay, reflection. See anybody out there that looks like you?
No.
No, I don't either.
But I can see my baby Reed.
Yeah, but like even me. Reed doesn't look like you. He looks maybe similar. Maybe you look a little similar to your mom and dad. Sit down. But you don't really look exactly like them. You know why? Because God created you special. You know, even if you're twins, does anybody know twins?
No.
Graham, you do. Billy and Shane.
Yeah.
When I see Billy and Shane, they look like identical twins to me. I can't tell them apart. I say, good morning, Billy and or Shane. I don't know who they are. But I bet their mommy can tell them. But you know what? Anybody smart enough to know what is different about them? What do we have on our hands? Fingerprints. Billy and Shane do not have the same fingerprints. Maybe I can't tell them apart, but they're special. They are unique, even if they look the same. So do you know how we got so special? The Bible tells us that even when we were still in our mother's womb, He fashioned us. We maybe, as we get older, look in the mirror. I used to look in the mirror and go, oh, look at that big nose. I used to not really like my big nose. But you know what? The older I got, the more I realized that God gave me that nose for a reason. Maybe it's to remember, to smell, right? Maybe I can smell extra a lot. That's right, Graham. We all have things about ourselves that are unique because God gave it to us. And God only does perfect things. So remember, anytime as you get older and you look in the mirror and there's something you don't like, God has a reason. You look like you because you're special and you're meant to do special things. You're unique creations of God, and He loves you, and so do the people of your church. All right, remember that. Have a good day, you guys. Thanks for coming up.
Our scripture this morning comes from James, chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world.
Thank you. It's great when things work. good morning. If you remember last time I spoke about grace. This is a three-part series that I'm doing, grace, relationship, and then the last part is purpose. And the reason I broke it up this way is because you can't have a relationship with God without the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy that God showed us first. And we can't have a purpose for God unless we have a good relationship with God or Christ. So those are some of the things we're going, and that's the direction we're going. And I'm hot, Jane. No? Okay. So those are some of the... yeah, I'm hot. Those are some of the directions we're going. And this part is about a relationship. So what is a relationship? If we look at Mr. Webster, I like his definition. He says, a relationship is the way in which two or more people, groups, countries, etc., talk to, behave toward, and deal with each other. But I believe a relationship is more than just what Mr. Webster describes it as. I think God created us with that desire in us to have relationships. We have it every day. We have it with our family. We have it with friends. We have it with work. We have it with businesses. But there's something more than that. I think there's a void in each one of us that God created that desires that relationship with us and God. And the only thing that can fill that is that relationship. We try to fill it with things of the world. We try to fill it with sports. We try to fill it with fame, fortune, money. None of them seem to work. The only way you can find true peace and true happiness is to fill that void with a relationship with God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about building that relationship. How do we strengthen that relationship so we can have that desire to see what God has next for us? So let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters who are here. I thank you for a beautiful day you've given to us. I thank you for Sarah and leading the worship as well, Lord. I thank you for the choir. We have so many things to be thankful for because of you. I pray now that you be with me. Help me to speak boldly for you, Lord. And just pray that our hearts and minds can be open to your word and to the message you laid on my heart, that we can grow closer to you. And it's in your son's name I pray. Amen. So how do we build this relationship? The only way you can build a relationship, if anybody remembers when they were younger and they were dating, what did you want to do? You wanted to spend time with that other person, right? Well, relationship with God is no different. We need to spend time with that person. And that's the only way we're going to be able to get to know him more. So we're going to look at that a little bit. We're going to look at how do we get to know him. And the first way we can get to know God is by reading scripture. God has poured out his word for us. That is him. We get to see him in his word. There are other ways we can get to, besides just reading scripture. We can go to Bible studies. We can go to fellowship. We can go to the groups. We can go to the small groups, I should say. And we can dig deeper into his word. Through other believers, we can grow closer to him. There are ways that we need to do. And that's no different than building a relationship with anybody else. If you don't spend time with that person, what kind of relationship are we going to have? We need to spend time with God. And there are just some of the ways we can do it. This is a four-part series. So the second thing, I got through the first one pretty quick because I think it's kind of common sense. The second way to do it, we have to talk to that person. Sorry, guys, theologians, we got to make it difficult. We call it prayer. But what is prayer? Prayer is nothing more than talking to God. We should be doing it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Prayer doesn't have to be any King James prayer or anything. It's just you pouring your heart out to God. Prayer is essential in any relationship. Imagine if you had a relationship with somebody, but you wouldn't talk to that person. What kind of relationship would we have if we never talked to that person? I know some of you guys are thinking, I wish my spouse wouldn't talk to me sometimes. But we need to talk to that person. And that's one way to strengthen our relationship. Prayer, very important. And you know the neat part about everything with us talking to God? God wants you to talk to him. God truly wants you to talk to him. He desires that. But why do we need to talk to him, or how do we talk to him? James 5:6 states, the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We need to ask ourselves, are our prayers fervent and effective? So what do we talk about? Talk to God about your trials, your tribulations, your struggles, your joys, your concerns. Talk to him like you would an earthly father or a best friend. It's not just about saying the most amount of words that I can say. It's not about saying these King James prayers. It needs to come from the heart, and it needs to be the way you would normally talk to someone. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us in 5:7, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing up in the synagogues and on corners of the streets so that they can be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use the vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Jesus was saying that don't just pray so people can see you. Do it because you do it to me. Talk to God. Spend time talking with him. And then one thing I like about that verse, that I truly like about that verse, it doesn't say, if you pray. It says, when you pray. Take time and pray and talk to God. The third part, which we find very difficult as Americans, is to listen to God. Listen and meditate on his word. If the other person is doing all the talking in the relationship, you're not going to get a word in edgewise, right? You can't have a relationship if we don't stop and talk. We need to listen to God. So how do we do that? Americans who are always running, I'm amazed at how many times people have told me and said, I don't hear God talking to me. And when I sit down and counsel them, and I find out that the reason they don't hear God talking to them is because they're running from this soccer game, that basketball game, that baseball game, to the kids' choir, to school activities, to the gym, to wherever. Americans are busy. We need to slow down and take some time. What did Jesus say about praying? We need to go into our quiet place and just sit and talk to him. We need to find time during the day, during our busy, busy schedules, to find time to talk to him. We need to slow down. And don't worry, when you slow down, God will talk to you. The second part of that is we need to meditate on His Word. How do we meditate on His Word? We need to stop. When we read something in Scripture, maybe the first thing in the morning, read a passage in Scripture and think about that verse all day. You'll be amazed how much God will talk to you about it. And there's another portion that isn't mentioned, but part of that is fasting. Don't be like the Pharisees when they fast. When you saw a Pharisee, it looked like he, when he was fasting, he looked like someone who just got run over by a camel. Don't look like that. Do it with a joyful face. And the second part of fasting that's more important than that, even that, is when we fast, we need to replace it with something else. God wants you to take that time and replace it with a prayer, replace it with a desire, replace it with something that's on your heart. Or maybe you're praying for someone. We need to fast. We need to take some time fasting. And when you do it with a joyful heart. We need to take some time to be with God. Fasting is important. The last part, I think, is the hardest part of them all, is trusting God. How can we have a relationship with that special someone or that significant other if we don't trust that person? What kind of relationship would that be if you didn't trust the other person? The other thing is about trust, it shouldn't be about a bunch of rules. The Pharisees and Sadducees were good at that. They turned a relationship into a bunch of rules, a bunch of do's and don'ts. Not about an individual, it should be a personal, as I said in the beginning, as you saw in the video, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And it needs to be personal. The problem is the Pharisees lost sight of that. They tried to take a God that's so big that, as we talked before, you can't put him in a building. A God who created this universe. A God who loves us that much, who sent his son for us. We need to trust him. It's not about rules. We need to trust him because he is our safe place. He is our fortress. He is our place that we can go to when we're in times of trouble. He's the guy who's going to carry us when we're in the valley so that we can look out on the mountain peaks and enjoy him even more. In Hebrews 11:1, the author writes, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We don't always know the outcome of what we're going through, and we may never know until we see Christ face to face. We may not always know what's going on, but we need to have trust in God that he is going to be there with us. And faith and trust go hand in hand. It's hard to have faith if we don't trust that person. And we got to realize that God wants the best for us. I mean, when you look back on it and you think about what God has done for us, the fact that he loves us that much, that he sent his own son for us to die for our sins and forgive us with his grace and mercy, we got to think about just how much we need to trust him. I don't believe it's God who doesn't trust us. I believe it's sometimes us not trusting God. We look at the negatives when we should be looking towards God. Hebrews 11:6 again, we find, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Faith, trust, hope. The only person we can put that in is God and God alone. We won't find it in anything in this world. We need to trust him. And we need to have faith that he is going to take care of us. Again, anyone who can love me enough to send his son to die for me, I need to trust that person. I need to have faith that he has what's best for me, no matter what trials I'm going through. So, in conclusion, our relationship with God needs constant nurturing, just like a plant needs watering, or a relationship with our closest friend. But applying these basic traits, we can build and maintain a right relationship with God. First thing we need to do is spend time in his word. And through reading the scriptures, through Bible study, through Sunday schools, through our relationships with our brothers and sisters, and through coming to church. Second thing we need to do is spend time praying to God and meditating on his word. And the third thing is to humble yourself. Take time and listen to him. We need to stop our busy schedules and we need to listen. And the fourth thing, we need to trust him. The hardest thing for us to do is to trust him. But he has a purpose for us, and we're going to talk about that next time. Without trust, it would be very difficult to do what he's called us to do. It's very difficult to just be there and try to do his will if we don't trust him. And I like what James instructs us in chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen. Please rise for our closing hymn. Remember those soup and sandwiches? Join us downstairs with the youth. They have some soup and sandwiches for us. As we go from here to this place, I pray that you find some time, some quiet time this week to spend with him, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, if I can get my electronics to work, we're good. And now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.